WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias? Yeah.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Everyone and everything, side by side, back to back, fighting the world together. That is respect. Respect is when you stick to your word, even though everyone tells you not to. Everyone encourages you not to. They make every opportunity for you not to, but you stick to your word. That is respect.
You know, sometimes you respect who someone used to be. Sometimes you respect them for what they used to represent. And then it dawns on you that respect is no longer a two-way street. You know, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to make the flight from Melbourne, Australia to Chicago, but it is a long frickin' way. A long time to sit there and think. To think about the last 8.5 years. 8.5 long years that I have sat there and honored my word out of respect. A respect that never existed at all. When those wheels touched down in Chicago, that door opened. I was about to walk off that plane. You walked up to me, looked me in the eye, and said three words that I never ever thought I'd hear again.
Are you ready? But the question isn't for Shawn, because I know he is. The question is for The Undertaker. The question is for Kane. The question is for the Brothers of Destruction. Crown Jewel, the question is, are you ready?
D-Generation X is ready. Kane, Undertaker, Brothers of Destruction. I say this with absolutely no respect at all. If you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
And there you have it. DX is back.
And the history was made.
And the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels is gonna wrestle again.
Are we just gonna start with this? Can we just start with this?
Let me do the foremost. This is the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on wildtalkradio.com, grubber.net, and twitch.tv/WTR Live. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12Valencia. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Wardgo.
So, history was made. Shawn Michaels has officially come out of retirement. I just have a couple things I have to say about this, and they're somewhat spoilery for what happened in Australia, but we are going to get into the full recap of what happened in Australia this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the rack. But we're going to just talk a little bit. First and foremost, Hunter, honey, you tried to screw them in Australia, okay? You changed the stip on the match. You didn't tell him you were changing the stip on the match until JoJo made the announcement. And then he looked at you, and you should have known. Then and there, you were dead. You were so dead. Because he was pissed. You made that grumpy bastard fly halfway around the world. You lied to him. You didn't tell him what was going on. And then when he gets out there, he finds out what's actually going on. Y'all should know not to mess with that man. I mean, he was in a bad mood when he got there. Bad mood when he got to the ring. He was even in a worse mood when he lost. I mean, honestly, you're gonna act like a bitch, you're gonna get treated like one. That's, as far as The Undertaker is concerned, that's just it. Just, why would you piss that man off? Why? Kane doesn't even factor into this. It's Taker. Why would you piss that man off? Why would you try to screw him over and then successively screw him over and then think that he's not going to, like, do something? Like, he's just gonna be all hunky-dory happy and hug you. Why would you think that? Second, weren't they on the same plane together? I mean, obviously Hunter wasn't. Hunter was clearly on the jet, but...
No, they were all on the same plane, and the jet does not go to Australia.
Weren't Hunter and Shawn and Taker and Kane, like, all on the same flight with everybody else? Didn't they all fly over together?
Kayfabe.
I know, but the second he's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been on that flight, but I had to stew for 20-something hours or whatever, and I'm just sitting there like, and you were probably stewing at the back of Taker's head because y'all were all in first class together. So, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. That's me, just that side of my brain kicks in when in regards to wrestling. But yeah, it's like, weren't y'all all on the same plane? Okay. All right. But anyway, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. Let's get to what actually matters about this. Not all the stupid crap that I think about in terms of wrestling, which is Shawn Michaels, after 8 years, is returning to the ring at least one more time, probably two, but at least one for sure, to face Kane and the Undertaker at Crown Jewel. Who's excited?
Raising hand.
I mean, I know everybody hates the idea of the part-timers and the old guys coming back and yada 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 yada, and we look too much at the past, and I would agree with that, but it's the way that they're doing this that I like.
Here's the thing. One, when he said, are you ready? Goosebumps.
I got goosebumps.
Secondly, it would be one thing if they were coming back and taking the spot of someone else. Whose spot are they taking? Are they out there burying young talent?
No.
So if it's one angle on one show, they're not taking anyone's spot. If DX was coming back to take down Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, people would have a complaint. And they should. But they're facing Undertaker and Kane.
I mean, honestly, I feel like this did not dominate the show. This was talked about on the show. But Hunter and Shawn had the first 15 to 20 minutes of the show. And that's all they had in terms of promo stuff. And then the rest of the show was everybody else. So in retrospect, it's like when you look at The Shield, for example, last week or 2 weeks ago now, I think The Shield had the first
90 minutes.
They had almost half the show, or about half the show, to themselves, and then everybody else got the other 90 minutes, and that included Taker and Shawn and Hunter and Kane. Like, so, I mean, in terms of the way that they're booking this out, very smart. You're keeping this contained to these four, and just these four. Nobody else is getting involved in this. Corbin isn't even getting involved in this crap. It is just these four men.
You knew the minute Hunter walked out, not in a suit, but in the jacket.
Oh, it got real. It got so real
so fast. And I was like, okay, I see where this is going. I like where this is going. This is going somewhere good. I like it.
This is, I feel like, the send-off. And I know we say this every year, but one year it's going to actually be true.
It's not the Undertaker send-off.
I feel like it is, though.
It's not a send-off. It's a final closing of this chapter.
But it would be a good way to send him off, as if at WrestleMania or at Survivor Series or wherever they're going to conclude this, that The Undertaker and Shawn, because I think that's what it's supposed to go to, is Taker and Shawn one-on-one one more time. And I would like to see that be a career match where Taker is forced to put his career on the line against Shawn Michaels. And Shawn forces him to retire.
That would be interesting. I don't see them going in that direction, though.
It would be interesting, but it's I feel like that's where they're going with this. But, you know, we say this every year about The Undertaker. Nobody knows when he's actually going to retire. Like, the dude is clearly going for as long as he wants to go. He's gotten things done to ease his discomfort from all the years of wrestling, so he's able to work a little bit longer. They're obviously they've pulled him out for Super Showdown. They're having him go again to Saudi Arabia this year, and who knows where else he's going to turn up, but this is the most we've had Taker work in a couple years now. So that's really cool to see. And again, I really liked how contained this whole feud is. The fact that this is not being overcomplicated. It's not being convoluted. It's very direct in terms of the reasoning, in terms of why they're fighting, the story. The story is so unnecessary, but it's so necessary at the same time. This feud, this whole thing, really didn't need anything.
No.
To it. But the fact that they've built this whole story around these series of matches and they're making sense just is beautiful to watch. Like, this is what, if they could do this with everybody, I think we would all be thrilled. And I know there's a massive amount of energy and creativity that is going into this, and I feel like that is why that's where the product is suffering, is because I feel like all the major resources are directed on this.
You would think that. Then you watch tonight's show and go, oh, hey, look, creative work woke up.
Well, because again, it's, you had to build the match between Hunter and Taker, which you did, and that's where a lot of the creativity was going. But then it's also a lot of it was going to The Shield and Strowman and Ziggler and McIntyre, which, they're, goddamn it, there has got to be a name for that team. Like, just can they get a group name?
They tried one and it didn't stick. It was some sort of dogs or something. It never stuck.
War Dogs, something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. It never stuck.
Yeah, can we get a group name for these three if they're going to continue to run around together? Because that would be so much easier than just saying their names. Because I feel like I'm going to, like, forget one of their names at one point or another. But I feel like that's where all the creative direction was going, and then everything else suffered, and that's what we saw on TV, was you were putting it into your two major feuds for Raw, and then everything else was just kind of like, eh, here you go. Tonight was much more because they're now past Super Showdown. We saw more creative influence in other places. And also, it's a reset, right? We're past that show. That's gone. So now we're moving on to Evolution. We're moving on to Crown Jewel. So we now have to start building that. So we saw that tonight with Hunter and Shawn challenging The Undertaker and Kane. But we saw it other places too.
We did. But one last thing. Shawn Michaels is awesome. And the DX shirt looks awesome. Anyway.
The DX shirt looks awesome. The new Hunter shirt looks awesome, too.
So yeah, DX is back together against Brothers of Destruction. Crown Jewel only on the WWE Network. Things that happened on this show. Other things. So, remember Abraham Washington?
Kind of.
And his gimmick was he would talk during a match.
Sure.
We had that with Leo Rush tonight. And coming in, Bobby Lashley was the babyface. And when Leo Rush opened his mouth, Bobby Lashley became a heel. And guess what? Looks like they did a double turn. It was Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens. Fans were into Kevin. They were booing Bobby Lashley. Leo's hype got the crowd to turn a little bit. And Bobby got the win. Beat up Kevin Owens afterwards. They did a double turn tonight. It seems. It appears.
They had to do something with Bobby Lashley, because I feel like nice guy Bobby Lashley, while he's a wonderful person, is not necessarily super duper interesting. I feel like he was always like right there on the cusp, but he was an afterthought. He was just a bland note. It was like, okay, all right, yay, there's Bobby Lashley, and I'm done.
He works better as a heel.
He works better as a heel. And with Leo Rush, I feel like that's really going to help him. Because, again, you have that hype man, right? You have the guy. You basically have Leo Rush doing for Bobby Lashley what Paul Heyman does for Brock Lesnar. That's the best analogy I can give.
That said, I don't need this mic gimmick in the ring during matches. Because guess
what? That can stop.
Because guess what? That's a mute button turn channel changing gimmick. It really is. It's awful. It's terrible. It's annoying. Oh, I say one thing, that's fine. When you're saying 50 things, it's like, I'm going to go do something else because
you're
going to drown me out.
I feel like if you're going to do that, go up on commentary. Have him up on commentary. Have him talking during the match during commentary. That's fine. Like, that's totally good because that makes sense, right? That he's up there talking up Bobby Lashley while Bobby's in the ring. And then if Bobby needs him, he takes off the headset. He runs out of the ring. He takes care of it and he's done. But giving him a separate microphone and having him talk during Bobby's match over the commentary team is just ridiculous. It's like, have him up there, have him interacting with them at the very least to make it make more sense. Because it's, again, you're having him hype the dude. So it's like you have him talking to Corey Graves about all the positive things about Bobby Lashley, and the two of them are really putting him over. Whereas, you know, Michael Cole and Renee Young are like, yeah, but, you know, yada, yada, yada. And Leo's like, no, no, he is fantastic, and I will make you see the light. Whatever the hell it is. You know, you have that interaction, and that helps get it over. But just have him, you know, commentating in addition to everybody else, it's like, that just is kind of sort of silly.
Yep, pretty much.
Because I barely remember the Abraham Washington thing, but I remember it did not last long.
No, it didn't. It lasted a little bit. It was on ECW and then made its way to Raw or SmackDown. One shows. I think it was Raw.
Wasn't it with Lashley, too? I feel like it was with Bobby Lashley.
I don't think so. Abraham Washington. Also on this show, Elias took shots at Chicago and the Cubs.
Because that's so hard.
He was then interrupted by Ronda Rousey, who was in six-person tag team action against the Riot Squad. It was Bellas and Ronda versus them. Good six-man tag or six-person tag, and Brie and Liv got into it. They played up on it, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Team Ronda got the victory. He was with Primo and Epico, it seems. I think that was the gimmick he was doing. I think. I forget. No, he was with Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. Okay.
That's right.
And he was released from his WWE contract a few days after making a highly controversial on-air remark.
Yeah. See, that gimmick doesn't work. So, anyway, back to the six-person tag. Really good match. Very enjoyable. They were celebrating. Ronda the Bell celebrating until Nikki attacks Ronda from behind. Brie joins in on the fight. It's a 2-on-1 beatdown. Ronda gets some momentum back, but she gets yelled at. It gets taken down. They scream in her face. They push her into a post. They just leave her laying in the middle of the ring with Nikki holding up the throat, laying the belt down, I should say, on top of Ronda and standing on top of Ronda Rousey. Really good turn. Made sense. Been saying it for weeks. It was coming. It was a nice payoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you needed the bells to turn. It was just a matter of time when.
Well, it's, you needed to weave them back into the product because they had been absent for so long. And
that's what was really good about it, too.
Huh?
That was what was really good about it. It's like you weave them nicely back in. Just, hey, they're back. It's the Bellas are back. Why are they back? There's no other reason than just they're back.
Yeah, it's easier for Nikki to sort of draw her in and become friendly with her and Brie to become friendly with her. And then, bam, you have the turn because then it's more emotionally jarring than it's just you have Nikki show up from behind and attack her. This way, it's like, you know, you're used to the Bellas being with Ronda Rousey. It makes sense that they're with her because, you know, it's like when they were with her at SummerSlam, it made sense because it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Brie and Nikki. We all knew why they were there. But at the same time, it's like if they had attacked her then, it's like, yeah, okay. All right, I guess they're setting something up for Evolution a couple months away. But, you know, the fact that you brought them back in, you worked them back in, you really got them standing on their own two feet, especially Nikki, who I think really needs to be standing on her own two feet after the whole... Yeah. After that whole breakup, you really need to have her established as her own entity again with Brie.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked Brie back in as her own person, but also as Daniel Bryan's wife. So they just did just a really nice, subtle job of bringing them back in, of getting them close to Ronda, having them really get close to the whole women's division again, to where it makes sense that they're there every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam, tonight you did the turn, which we were all waiting for. But it was still effective. It was still really well done.
Very effective. Very, very effective. Other things on the show, Finn Balor and Bayley beat Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox like they did at the Mixed Match Challenge.
They're so cute together.
No real shock. Baron Corbin introduced a global battle royal featuring a lot of people from different countries from all over the world.
This was a little questionable.
As it was a setup for him wanting to get into they have a WWE World Cup tournament for the Saudi Arabia show. For Crown Jewel. So he was creating Battle Royal to give a spot to somebody. Mainly for himself. So he had all these people in there so he could beat them up. Heath Slater wasn't good enough to get into this tournament, by the way. This battle royal, by the way.
Poor Heath.
So Corbin, they all gang up on Corbin, but Corbin's eliminating every single one of them. Except for this conquistador who fell to the outside and he's just standing there. And then gets in the ring. And you look at this conquistador. It looks very familiar. That's a German. Wait, that's a...
That's an angle slam. And then, gee, this conquistador is built. Yeah. He's stacked, man.
There you go, commentary. You know, remember the days of Edge and Christian and Hardy's in the conquistador outfit? And then the conquistador eliminates Baron Corbin. Then the conquistador reveals himself as Kurt Angle. He's back. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. It was good. Kurt's now in the... Oh, the World Cup along with John Cena, who did not have to qualify because he's going to be filming a movie for a month until the show, so he doesn't need to get on Raw to qualify. But Kurt Angle did, so it's Kurt Angle, John Cena in the World Cup so far. That's cool. And then he, Kurt was leaving, and he's like, I'm still on vacation, which was fun.
It was fun, and honestly, I had this moment when he was out there where I was like, wait, is that a, because it's like, you see the guy, and if you were watching in that time, which not everybody was, but it's like, if you were, you recognize that outfit. You know exactly what that is. And you're like, wait, did they do that? Did they really do that? And sure enough, yes, they did. It's a Los Conquistador. And then they start talking about it, and it's like, oh no. Oh God, they did this for a reason. This is intentional. And then you start looking at the dude and it's like there is, and when they showed him from the back, the shoulders in particular.
You know those shoulders.
You know that back. You know those shoulders. There's only one person with that body and you're like, oh crap, that's Kurt Angle. But it was still a nice reveal. Like it was still really well done. And I love Corbin who he's like, you were supposed to be on vacation. Like he had the perfect villain response to it. It was wonderful. It's like, I kind of love what they're doing with Baron Corbin right now.
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable beat the Ascension. On commentary, they were pushing Connor basically liking being a singles wrestler, and he's having success as a singles wrestler, so maybe they're breaking the Ascension apart, because that'll go over well.
You gotta do something.
Roode and Gable got the win on Victor, which, you know, probably sets all that up. Then the AOP came out, laid out both teams.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Authors of Pain are badasses, and everyone else is just there.
Well, again, you needed to do something with the Authors of Pain. You have them sitting there. You did this great job with them in NXT. And then when they came up, nothing really happened with them because I think they have visa issues. So they had to be off TV almost immediately after they came up. And then it's like after that, you really didn't do anything with them because they made the decision to bring them up without Paul Ellerling, which is fine because I don't think Ellerling really wanted to go on the road again.
He said he would. He said he would.
He said he would, but I don't think it was something that he was like yearning to do it. It was more like, yeah, okay, if you need me, I'll do it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So they made the decision to have them turn on him and not bring him up, and that ran into issues because the whole Authors of Pain deal has to have a manager. It's built around a manager because they don't necessarily speak. If you've ever seen it from NXT, Paul Ellerling did all the talking, all of it.
Yeah.
And he put them over and he hyped them up and he sold them, and that was the deal. He just pointed and they destroyed. That was it. That was what happened with that. So when you brought him up, you didn't have anybody to do the pointing anymore. So it didn't really work with them on their own. So the fact that you now have Drake Maverick with them, by the way, congratulations, Drake Maverick, on your fashion choices. Much better. Well done. It works.
Yeah.
It works much better than what it was doing. So I like this. I like that they're using AOP because I feel like, again, you need that monster tag team in this division because you don't have it. You don't have it. And you have really the two tag teams in the Ascension and AOP from NXT that were the monster tag teams down there. Mm-hmm. They both had similar paths. They were both equally destructive. And yeah, you should be doing something with them. So it makes me happy that they're finally doing something with the Ascension. At least Connor. Victor should get something too, but we'll see. And AOP. Like, I'm happy that they're finally doing something with them, and as opposed to just leaving them to languish on the roster.
Right. Yeah, I'll see. Ember Moon beat Nia Jax via countout. They're starting something between the two, I guess. They're best friends, but they're starting something. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see where it goes. Let's see. Oh, Trish Stratus was on the show tonight.
She looked fabulous.
Trisha, she, they'll make history in 3 weeks. She said she heard Alexa Bliss's Moment of Bliss and, well, called it a bunch of BS and said she has there to Elaine Bliss with a moment of stratisfaction. Before she could, Alexa and Mickey came out, and they talked about how Alexa screwed up last week with math and everything. But Bliss comes out and finally gets a chance to tell her idol, Trish Stratus, that she actually sucked. She said she was lucky she wasn't around then because she would have been living in her shadow. She then said, She was spent her career living in her shadow, stressed, and told Alexa, come on into the ring. So Alexa and Mickey came down to the ring. And before Alexa could get in Trish's face, James was like, no. We're not going to do this. These people don't deserve it. And she told Trish Stratus, you and I both know there's nothing good ever happens in Chicago. Everyone remembers Chicago, don't they?
Little B, little Lick.
Anyway, she suggests that she and Bliss should team up at Evolution. Well, you know, maybe. Because Trish was like, talk about a Hall of Fame beatdown. James was like, Mickey might want a little piece of that. Maybe they'll do it tonight, maybe not. And it's like, alright, maybe we team up. And Trish was like, that's an extremely difficult decision to make. And then you hear her say, how about this person right here? And out walked Lita, Mickey's opponent at Evolution. And they both went to work. They kicked Alexa Bliss. They laid out Mickey James. Lita did the moonsault, or attempted to go up for the moonsault, but Bliss got Mickey out of the way. Got a tag match, besties versus besties. I think this is much better than the singles match. Even though Trish and Alexa would have been a really good singles match, I think Lita doing a full singles match is probably not the best thing for her at this point in her career.
No, and I think that it's nice that they figured that out now as opposed to right before Evolution. And I also honestly believe Trish probably doesn't want to do a full match. And when I say don't want it, she's just not there. Maybe they're physically, she's not there mentally. Who knows? Maybe she just doesn't want to do it. I don't know. This is me purely spitballing. This is me not speaking for Trish Stratus at all. But it's like they're protecting Lita. They're protecting Trish. I think they're protecting Alexa and Mickey as well. Just, it's going to be easier for them all around to do a tag match as opposed to doing two singles.
Less expectations. You'd lower the expectations because a Trish-Alexa singles match, there are going to be high expectations. Here, okay, you got both sides who can work. You can take it easy. You don't have to go all out, which is the right move. So, backstage, you had the Shield who found their camera. They talked about the Brotherhood. They're the bad guys. They're vicious. Because it doesn't matter if they're in Melbourne or Chicago, the story stays the same. Rollins says, they don't crack or stop. They are the one true constant. We are the Shield. Believe that. Interesting. They found their camera.
Well, I don't think it was ever lost. I think it just went into Dean's bedroom.
You don't know that for sure.
You're right. It could have gone into Seth's.
Could have. There was some bickering back and forth between Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre after losing. So there was that. So you had all that tension in the air, but leading into the main event. But before you got to the main event, you had Paul Heyman show up. He said he was there to see a fight between the Shield versus the other Strowman and crew. Heyman said he was fine surrounding the Reigns and Strowman beat the hell out of each other, which takes its toll, then flew 20 hours to Chicago to beat the hell again. Heyman said that what they do in World Wrestling Entertainment is fly around the world 7 days a week and twice on Sunday and beat the hell out of each other just to put smiles on the faces of the WWE Universe. He said Brock isn't watching the promo because he's sleeping in his own bed, eating a home-cooked meal, running a mile to the Death Clutch Gym training center that he constructed with the goal of becoming the first two-sport champion by holding both WWE and UFC titles. He said Reigns is a part of a stable and has to watch his brother's backs, and Strowman is part of a team of weak links. Heyman said Lesnar never says we. He says me. Heyman says that's why Lesnar will once again be the Universal Champion. Cue the Shield. Cue the six-man tag. Good main event, which saw Drew McIntyre pin Dean Ambrose with the Claymore kick for the victory. That was not the big thing. It was what happened afterwards. Shield were down the ring. Dean Ambrose walked to the back on his own.
With Roman Reigns and
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins looking on forlorn and concerned and confused as Dean Ambrose leaves. So they're finally addressing the anger issues with Dean Ambrose in a very slow, methodical fashion, which good for them. I like that they're doing this, that Dean is getting ever more frustrated of being in the Shield because he is being held back a little bit. They all are. Mm-hmm. And Dean and Seth are really being used as Roman's support system. And maybe they're going to talk about that. Who knows? But I liked how they did this. This was well done. It's a good follow-up to the six-man tag. Not that you really needed to, but it's a good follow-up to it. And it's continuing to tease either the potential breakup of the Shield or the full reuniting of the Shield. Who knows? But this was well done. Paul Heyman's promo was good, but Paul Heyman's promo is always good. I mean, you can't
you can't top that, man. You can't do... I don't think they have anybody else that can do what Paul Heyman can do.
No.
They really... I don't think there's anybody in the business that can do what Paul Heyman can do. There isn't.
There really isn't. But DX is back. Shawn Michaels is wrestling again. We had some heel turns. All in all, exciting show.
This was a really good show. This was a much stronger follow-up than we've seen in the last few weeks.
Keep it up.
Keep it up. Yeah, it's like I said, they kind of got to hit the reset button tonight because they're past Super Showdown. And what I feel like hurt those Raws going into Super Showdown was a lot of the matches were pre-announced. So there was no oomph to it. There was no build to it. You didn't build to that moment where, hey, we're going to fight. Because the fight's already set. So it's like, now you have to just get there. Well, heading into Crown Jewel and heading into Evolution, some of the matches are pre-announced. Some of them aren't.
Also, keep up with the surprises. Keep us on our toes. And that's what made the show really good.
Yeah, agreed.
But that'll do for
tomorrow. And bring back Bray Wyatt. Where is he?
That will do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have a big week on the rack.
We do. So y'all, check it out. Wednesday, we're having two things drop.
One
thing drop, which is we got to talk to HGTV Flipper Flop Atlanta stars Ken and Anita Corsini all about season 2 of Flipper Flop Atlanta. So if you're into that, check it out. It drops Wednesday afternoon. Show debuts on Thursday, so you want to listen to that, not during the rack.
And well, it's been an hour before, so that's good.
So that's good, but you know, check that out at your earliest convenience. We had a lot of fun talking to them, and we didn't just talk house stuff. We talked other things too, but mostly house stuff.
So check out the Rack Extra with the Corsinis coming soon this Wednesday afternoon. TheRackRadioShow.com. The Rack Extra Reviews Total Divas Season 8 Episode 4 will be available on Thursday afternoon, but Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack is live.
That's right, and like I said, we're talking all about Super Showdown. We will let you know who won, who lost, our thoughts on the entirety of the show, because it was watched, I think, in pieces for both of us, because neither one of us got up at 5 to watch it.
Nope.
But that being said, it'll be fresh in our brains, so you want to check it out. We'll also have all your favorites, news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms. Make sure you check out Fortnite with Friends right after The Rack, probably 11:30 p.m. Eastern-ish time for Fortnite with Friends. Make sure you go to twitch.tv/WTRLive for all your Fortnite podcast and WW2K19 content. We're going to be trying to do a lot of WW2K19 content around the MyCareer mode, which was being streamed. There was an episode today. There's about 3 parts already on the on-demand section on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive, so check that out. More to come. CB Radio Saturday Night, Midnight-ish, we're doing Spooky Wrestlers this week. Go back and listen to the one we did about ships and boats and stuff this past week for the Great and the Great Debate on CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, if there's anything for them to talk about, they'll be live, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD.
Thanks to GoWork.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. This has been the Raw Post Show, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTRLive. Tune in radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Thanks to MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, and GoWork.net. We'll see you Thursday for Iraq. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.